Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf. Maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield. Adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown. 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here tonight.
Radio analyst for Westwood One Sports.
Oh, and he's their big playmaker when they want to push it down the field. They love to use the big-bodied wide receiver and Alex Pierce, and he just puts the ball up and says, hey, protect the football and go make a catch for me. Little pull there in the quarters coverage, and you go up over the top to Alex Pierce.
NFL Network analyst.
Guten Sonntag, Morgan, back in the States on a Sunday. We're about 3:30 local time here. Adam Amin, the Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, right back to Taylor with Warren blocking. Touchdown, Taylor! And the Colts win in overtime.
I know everybody in the building was hoping it was going to come down to a kick, but as you said, couldn't have been more fitting, not only that Jonathan Taylor gets into the end zone, but the way he gets into the end zone. You're going to watch him with another vintage Jonathan Taylor run.
You might call that the golden goal.
Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our segment with Kurt Warner is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals. Available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. It's also brought to you by Great Clips. It's going to be great. Kurt Warner joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Kurt, thanks so much for joining us. I don't want to put too much on this, but I am curious of a professional's opinion about this. When I watch Caleb Williams do some of the heroic stuff that he has done at the end of games when the Bears have been down, whether it's this season or last season, I feel like that's something that's not necessarily taught. And I get excited about the fact that the Bears have a quarterback who is capable of doing that in those pressure situations. Obviously, what you want is for him to be able to play complete games and still have some of that. But is there anything to the idea of there being something special about a quarterback that can flip a switch when it's necessary?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. And especially, again, we have to continue to put all of this in context, that he's still in his second year. He's still in his first year in this system. And we've seen growth in more of the conventional stuff. But yeah, when you have a guy that in those moments goes and plays football and makes big plays and doesn't shy away from that moment. And it might not be as conventional. I think, you know, the hope is he doesn't have to put on a cape as much and make these runs or these crazy throws. And some of that really good play, you know, is more schematic and the offense working for him and him playing on schedule and doing those things, because, you know, doing things like we saw yesterday is a hard thing to do. But to have a guy that has the capabilities of doing that, I think has to excite, you know, any fan base that, you know, when things aren't pretty and things aren't going great. And, you know, I even say sometimes as a quarterback, you don't see the field great every time you step on the field. For me, that usually meant a loss and a bad performance. For some other guys like Caleb, that can mean, okay, it may not be great schematically or on schedule, but I still have the capabilities of impacting a game in different ways. And, you know, so I think you have to be excited. I love the growth. I love that we've seen some steps. It's not there yet. But then you couple that with, I just think the kid is competing every time out and he's battling and he never gives up. And yeah, that to me, I think is just as exciting for, you know, a locker room when you know you've got a guy that, again, not perfect, but that he's going to compete and he is going to, you know, battle every single time you go out there until, you know, until the whistle blows. I think it's an exciting thing, you know, for the Chicago Bears fans, and they're finding ways to win in this transition period. I think it's been great.
It's good stuff from Kurt Warner, as it usually is on Spiegel and Holmes. He's winning patience is what he's doing. He's winning patience when you see that effort, like you're talking about, relentlessly, and the plays that he makes at the end. As you watched him in structure yesterday, can you tell, did you see him getting to his third read or even his fourth read on more occasions? I felt like I was seeing that, but I'm not sure.
I can't say I necessarily saw that. Yes, I thought yesterday's performance was just kind of up and down all across the board. You know, I think there was times when there wasn't a whole lot happening for him down the field. Like there wasn't a lot of reads to go to necessarily. You know, I think there were times he missed. There's times that I continue to say, gosh, you know, take something off the football. You know, everything is like a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. And then there's throws that you're just like, goodness gracious, like who can make that throw? And especially some of the throws he made on the run where you're just like, I wouldn't even consider attempting a throw like that. And, you know, he misses by inches. And so, yeah, I thought it was an up and down performance by their offense as a whole. And, you know, kind of in the same vein of a lot of the stuff that we've seen from Caleb. You know, some games have been, you know, better overall, but just there's some good, there's some bad, there's some things you want to see improved. But again, at the end of the day, it was about him making a bunch of plays. And that was the reason that they ended up winning that football game, is because he was just making some plays, whether that was inside the pocket or outside the pocket, just made enough plays, including the, you know, the final touchdown run to get him to win.
Kurt, from your experience, what's key to being able to scheme players open? Because, you know, Greg Olsen pointed it out on the broadcast yesterday that the Bears are one of the best teams at getting open receivers. So what does it come down to from your experience of working with really good offensive coaches? What makes guys good at that?
Well, I mean, I think it's having a vision for what the possibilities are. So here's the thing is that, you know, I think sometimes, you know, we speak over people's heads and you know, we try to make, you know, defensive football like rocket science. You know, at the end of the day, there is so much space on a field that you have to cover. And usually you're covering that space with seven guys. And thus the reason we have the different coverages that we talk about. You know, cover one obviously is man-to-man coverage. So you're just covering a man. You got a guy in the middle of the field that's kind of helping. Cover two, five guys covering the zones underneath and two guys covering deep. Obviously cover three guys deep, four under, and then cover four the opposite, four guys deep, three under. And so the idea is that the defense still has to cover the field, and they're going to find creative ways to do it, and they're going to bring some pressures and those kinds of things. But those zones are always going to be those zones. And so to me, a good play designer is one that understands the zones he's trying to attack and how to use his different guys to put, you know, I always use the term, put someone in conflict. That to me is what good play design is all about. It's not just putting a bunch of guys in different spots and expecting somebody to necessarily win a one-on-one matchup, you know, or you to call a play at exactly the right time against exactly the right defense, and then it can be successful. To me, good play designers and guys that can get guys open or guys that can go, okay, these are the variety of coverages that this team plays. And I want to design a play that attacks the responsibility of different guys. So if we get cover two, or if we get cover three, or if we get cover four, we're doing something that should give our quarterback an answer or a chance to get someone open. And, you know, that to me is what I look at, you know, when I watch film and I watch, you know, play designers and you know, different play concepts. I'm always putting myself in the quarterback's shoes and going, okay, what would I do here? And why does this work or why doesn't this work? And, you know, and then you look at it against the coverage that they're actually seeing and go, oh my gosh, quarterback has no chance. Or, oh, what a great play design against this coverage, because this is where it stresses that defense. And so it's being able to build plays that have answers against the variety of different things that you're going to see. Where more times than not, it, you know, I don't want to say makes it easy on your quarterback, but it gives your quarterback an answer, and it sets up your receivers to have a chance to win. And sometimes defenses win, right? Sometimes, you know, they fall into it, or, you know, teams will play some match coverage. So it's a zone, but somebody will run and kind of match to a guy and play more man. So it can take away, you know, that conflict player that we're trying to get. But that to me is what it's all about, is understanding that. You know, I was covering the Colts this weekend in Germany, and I think Shane Steichen does a great job of doing just that. Like, hey, we're going to run this route, and we're going to run it in this way to kind of clear this guy out. And then we're going to do this because I know the responsibility of this guy in this zone is such and such. So we're going to attack his responsibility and stress him that way, and then have an answer if he does this or an answer if he does that. Like, that's the kind of stuff to me that makes good play design, that creates opportunities for guys. And, you know, and I can see just the opposite. I can see other guys. So here's the kind of the beautiful thing is when you have a good play designer and you see those details and why those details are so important, and then you'll see another team that will run the exact same play, and their details are terrible, and they don't attack it the right way, and they don't have the release pattern the right way, or they don't have the spacing the right way, and a defense easily covers it because of that. And so that's another aspect to great play designers, in my opinion, are those little details that they realize make dramatic differences for getting a guy open, creating space, you know, really stressing what a defense does. And you'll have a lot of teams that will run the same plays in essence, right? The basic same plays. You know, we say maybe 65, 70% of offenses are going to have, you know, kind of the same play ideas within them. But how you run those plays and how you get to those plays and how you motion and formation and who you put where and how you release and all that stuff makes a huge difference. So we can look at it, oh, same play so-and-so ran, but one team's so much more effective with it than another team. And so there are so many things that go into it, but ultimately it does come down to there are certain zones on the field that every defense has to cover. How are they going to cover it? How are we going to exploit those, you know, those different zones with our concepts is what it comes down to.
So as you're talking, Kurt Warner, I'm picturing Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt running wide open on crossers way down the field. And I'm thinking about, you know, Al Saunders and Dick Vermeil and Don Coryell, but also Mike Martz. And I remember talking to Mike Martz when Ben Johnson got hired and him saying that that's his favorite play caller in the NFL. So as you're talking about it, you can, you know, it makes sense from from your experience on some level that Martz is a big fan of Ben, doesn't it?
For sure. And I was actually just talking about Mike this weekend with Kenny Zampezi, who was with us in St. Louis back in the day. And we were talking about the thing that always jumped out about Mike was that he understood how to coach every position and how every position was tied together. You know, he just wasn't a quarterback guru, or he just wasn't a wide receiver guy.
And we hear that about Ben, Kurt.
And the tight ends.
Tight ends, and even the offense. Darnell Wright said that Ben has a way of making him feel like the most important guy on a given play.
So it's understanding how the nuance of all of that stuff, you know, ties together. You know, what the offensive line does and the steps that they make. You know, like I talk about all the time, release patterns to me are so important. You know, is it just easiest release, just get to your spot? Or is it, we need you to dive inside. We need you to press outside. And those things that become so important, splits. You know, we're going to have a whole bunch of different splits. Why? Well, because we want to shrink a cornerback. So we're going to have a tighter split because we're going to try to get outside and gain leverage outside. Like all of those things and how they stack on top of one another is so important. And again, I think there's a lot of, you know, people out there. And again, I don't want to say that they're bad coordinators or they're, you know, not great football people, but that don't understand that part of it. And so they're stealing a play from somebody else on film, but they don't really know why they're doing it. You know, I would think all the time when I was, you know, back to playing, and coaches would put in plays, and I would see the game differently a lot of times than my coaches. And so one of my biggest questions was always just why? Okay, why are we running that route like that? You know, why is that important? What does that do for us? Or how does that help another guy? Or how does that help me as a quarterback to read this? Because in my mind, I always knew what I wanted. And I needed to know why a coach wanted to do it a different way. And whenever I heard, well, that's just how we do it, I knew right then and there, they don't know why we're doing it that way. We're doing it that way because somebody told them to do it that way, or because they pulled it off, you know, a film and said, oh, this is how they did it. Like, to me, every detail should have a why. Why are we releasing this guy inside? If I'm releasing him inside, why? You know, why are we doing this? You know, one of the biggest things for me, if you guys could follow this, is I ask all the offense coordinators that I talk to now, that over the years, as I've put in offenses and run offenses and design plays and stuff, whenever I get a guy in a slot position as a wide receiver, I never straight vertical release him. That guy is either going to be bursting outside or seaming inside. And I'm continually asking offensive coordinators, if you straight vertical release a guy, what benefit does that give you? Like, because I see it happen all the time, right? And it's just kind of a natural thing. Oh, we just run up here and run the route. But I always ask them, when you straight vertical, what benefit does that give you? Because if I seam or if I burst, it creates movement by the defense. And that's what I should say. It creates movement or it gives me leverage, one or the other. If they don't move, we gain an advantage. If they move, we gain an advantage because we're creating movement and reads for the quarterback. So I never have my slot receiver straight vertical release any route that he runs. But I'm always asking offense coordinators because I'm like, this is what I believe. This is why. This is how I know it helps me as a quarterback. But that doesn't mean there's not a benefit from doing it the other way. I just want to know, what is it? And every time I ask somebody, nobody can ever give me an answer. Like, they just look at me like, that's just how we do it. Like, you know, or it gets, let's just go a little bit faster. And I don't believe that. But nonetheless, You know, I'm always asking questions like that because I want to know, is there a reason? Is there something I'm missing where I can gain a benefit by doing this? Because that's how I'm always thinking about offensive football is, okay, we're going to run this play. Like if you drew a play up on a board and said, we're going to run this play, the first thing I'm going to do is look at it and go, okay, we're going to run that play. What do I want this guy to do? And so what's important for him to do on this play? What's he opening up? What do I need him to do in terms of attacking a defense? How do I need him to open up the zone? Do I need him to widen the defender? Do I need him to squeeze a defender? What do I need from him? And so now you start taking each and every individual piece and say, okay, to make this play the best version of it, how does everybody need to do their job, you know, down to the finest detail to allow us to be successful? And ultimately, that's what I believe about great play designers and coordinators. They're the guys that understand that, and they leave no stone unturned in terms of the details that we believe will make this play the best version of it.
As always, we enjoy the education, Kurt. Thanks for joining us.
You got it, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
That's Kurt Warner. We love talking with Kurt Warner because you always learn a lot. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. We've had our say. Kurt's had his say. C.J. Gardner-Johnson has had his say.
I hadn't written you a note.
Now it's time for you, the Bears fan, to have your say. 312-644-6767 is the number. The Bears are 6-3. What do you think?
Can you stay where you are and bask in 6-3? Or do you find yourself mitigating your feelings with looking back or looking ahead or otherwise?
Let's talk about it with you. 312-644-6767. Spiegel and Holmes talking Bears with you until 6 o'clock here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Well, I've been waiting to say, and the stars are Spiegel and Holmes. Chicago.
Afternoons on the Score.
Right. After that, penalty.
Yeah.
For the half yard line, I guess. Yeah. You're going to fourth and go up to half. Did you think maybe Jake will go for here?
Yeah, I thought about it. I thought, take the points, get a 10-point lead in the fourth. I thought our defense was playing good. so.
Thought his defense was playing good.
Cowardice deserves to be punished.
You were so adamant about it in the group thread at the moment. Greg Olson agreed with you. And then there it was, coming back to bite him. That extra 4 points might have been nice, huh?
Yeah, or what it would have done to the Bears if they score in that moment.
My questions for the day regarding the Giants
chicken bleep
are as follows. Has Brian Daboll been fired yet? That's a yes. Has the punter Jamie Gillen been cut yet?
Oh, that was rough.
Dude, that dude, he got removed from kickoff duty. And then maybe that was up in his head as he shanked a punt in the biggest of all possible moments. And then my third question is, why is Jameis Winston not their number two quarterback over Russell Wilson?
These are all really good questions.
All right, that has been the Giants portion of the Spiegel and Holmes show.
I don't think so. 312-644-6767 if you'd like to jump in and talk about the Bears. Hey, Chris, you're on the Score.
How are you?
We're good, Chris. Thank you.
So I'm a New York Giant fan, season ticket holder. I was down here in Chicago. Our flights are delayed, and I'm still here listening to you guys. First off, Russell Wilson, you should hug him, because the minute he walked into the game, you knew. I sat to the guy next to me who was a Bear fan and said, "You won this game." "What do you mean? You're up two scores." I said, "Dude, you've won the game." He is so timid and scared to play in the NFL at this point of his career. He should not be playing, because all he's doing, if he does have a chance to be a Hall of Famer, he's ruining it for himself.
Hey, Chris. Because
he shouldn't be there.
Chris, I need you to focus. We don't really care about that part. Talk to us more about the part about what you saw with the Giants and Bears.
So for you guys, as a Bear, watching football, Williams, I've heard a lot of bad things about Williams, right? I thought, listen, if he couldn't pick apart the Giants' zone defense, then he's dog, right? He's done. And he did what every quarterback's been doing to the Giants in the fourth quarter. We play a zone defense. I don't care what you say. The Giants have the best forefront pass rushers in the league. Do we use them the right way? Absolutely not. Do we rush the quarterback? Absolutely not. But Williams played an unbelievable game, and he took advantage of a Giants team that is soft in the middle. But I will tell you this, too, about him. He threw money passes yesterday, and your receivers don't catch the ball for the guy.
Thank you so much for the call.
It's that guy, Williams.
I disagree with Chris. I thought the Giants did a great job of pressuring Caleb. They just didn't do a good job of sacking him.
That dude was Houdini yesterday, according to Ben. How many times did he make these crazy, instinctive, unbelievable moves within the pocket? Like, his ability to not get sacked in a year after 68 sacks is amazing. And I remember a conversation we had in the offseason about Caleb saying, I think it was with Derek, was it Derek Klassen who does it was part of the Athletic football show?
Yeah.
Yeah, about how for a guy who got sacked 68 times, he had pretty good pocket presence. Last year, really watching it, how's the pocket presence now? Watching the pocket presence, watching him avoid sacks is incredible.
I also want to give Caleb credit physically. Like he talked, and he's 230, which at his height you wouldn't, you know what I mean, but he's tough.
He said he works out.
I know that's your question.
I didn't even have to ask it. He just answered it. He said sometimes it's instincts and sometimes it's, you know, my workouts. I was like, damn, look at that.
Yeah, he's very creative as a scrambler, and you hope that there have been a couple of games, like the Vikings game comes to mind, where that gets him in trouble. But it just seemed like those guys, Thibodeau was like right there a couple of times when he wasn't getting pancaked by Darnell Wright. Brian Burns was right there a couple of times.
Yeah, it was that one on a first down. I think he made like this crazy 360 when Burns was coming at him from behind that he didn't even like. I don't know how he felt that was even happening.
Yep.
And avoided that.
Thibodeau had a pressure rate of 22.2%. Six pressures, zero sacks.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's insane. Like, they got there. They just couldn't get him on the ground. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's – it seems as if Caleb is putting together a resume of that being part of who he is as a quarterback. You just worry that that is something that might correct itself at some point. At a really inopportune time.
I'd like him to just get rid of the ball some of those times so he doesn't have to do that.
I agree. Now I'd like to talk with a Bears fan. Do we have any of them, or is it just disgruntled, trapped Giants fans
That's kind of fun, though. I got to say, disgruntled, trapped, opposite team fan coming off a home win might be something we need to slot in. Alex, get on that.
Hey, Dwayne, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
We're good. What's up?
Wonderful.
Well, you know, I'm a diehard Bears fan. I love them, love them, love them. But my question is, when our defense have them for a third or fourth down, like the last yesterday, they had them going for a first down, fourth and six. I look at the cornerbacks, our corners, and they 14 yards downfield. I mean, I just don't understand what they're thinking. I don't know if they all hurt or what. Like, Stevenson gets burnt every week, it seems like.
Most cornerbacks get burnt.
He's thinking that Tyreek and Nashawn Wright are given too much cushion. Look, maybe you're used to watching Jalen Johnson, who can press with the best of them and stay on his man. It's the hardest position in football, in my opinion. And Nashawn Wright is not an NFL starter. I don't think that dude is an NFL starter. And they're surviving with him right now.
I would agree with that point. Hey, Bill, you're on the score.
What's up, Bill?
Hey, love the show. Love the show. Just really quick, I am not a Catholic, so I needed someone to hear my confession because I've been a diehard Bears fan for 60 years. In the last 2 weeks, I wasn't able to watch, but I recorded the games, and I got home without knowing the score. And both weeks, I got so frustrated. I'm like, this isn't even worth watching the end. And I Googled the final score and then went back to DV like, oh, my God, I got to watch the end of this. two weeks in a row, so I'm back. My faith has been restored, and I'll always watch the game till the end. But I needed someone to confess that.
Well, then take your ass to church.
Yeah, I'd say seven Hail Marys, four Our Fathers, and no Chicago Dogs for a while.
Go to the Sinner's Mass, what we like to call the Sinner's Mass at DePaul Sunday night.
Oh, yeah. Was that where Sunday night? Like
you just Sunday night, you get yourself.
Get that weekend process.
Yeah, you go in there and talk with the Lord, and then you start your week back off. That's the way to do it.
That makes sense. It's like a Monday morning kind of thing. But Sunday night feels better. Then you can go to sleep.
Yeah, Sunday night, you go do everything you need to do. Your football team has played a game probably, and then you go to church, and you're like, you know what? I can be a better person.
So Bill tapes the games and then found himself frustrated and Googling the final score. So he like blew his own surprise. That game that we play sometimes with ourselves, he busted it both times.
He wanted to know what happened, and I imagine that he was doing it in anger. He's like, oh, let's see how much they lost by.
Yeah.
They won?
Saved my last hour.
And then look at it. All right, is this right? A Harry from Carrie?
Mm.
All right.
Harry.
That's exactly right, Uncle Terry.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Harry.
How are we doing?
We're good. How's Carrie?
Hey, I've been listening to the show forever, dude. It started with Pops and my little bro. Now I'm a grown guy driving back from work and still listening, dude. But all I wanted to say is Chicago football is back, and Caleb Williams played his ass off this past weekend. There's a lot of talk, a lot of things you can critique about him, but he is one tough dude, man. And every week has been a roller coaster, but I'm strapped in, and I'm ready to go. That's all I got to say, guys.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Look, Caleb,
timeline doesn't really match up.
You're doing the math, generational math.
Of him listening to the show for forever.
Well, he thinks we're Boers and Bernstein.
Oh.
He thinks I'm Terry, and you're Dan.
Okay.
I think so.
Fair enough.
Unless he thinks that, you know, that we're McNeil and Boers.
Fine.
I don't know who he thinks we are. But
those,
yeah,
I want those bonuses that those guys had.
We do have the victory chicken. Hey, Chicago, you know what? Caleb is self-aware of his problem. His problem, as I talked about it last week, is the thing that he does when he extends plays that don't have to be extended. You know what I mean? And he talked about it very specifically last week, and I really appreciated this about him.
I've need to be more conscious of myself to be able to help this team. I think, you know, my legs can be dangerous in any moment, but definitely in key moments. And so, when they cover the guys down, don't always have to scramble and just, you know, do those cool plays and things like that.
The cool plays and things like that, where he's like trying to get the scramble drill going and he does the orbit scramble and ends up going all the way to the sideline and throwing a pass. It's just out of reach of people. And you're like, man,
that was cool.
That was cool. But there's something in between. Yesterday, I thought he did a lot more of the in between, like throwing stuff when he's on the run, but not necessarily getting all the way to the sideline, choosing to run and doing stuff with his legs and making the most of that. Some of the stuff that you see, like skilled quarterbacks who can run, do some of that in-between stuff, that in-between game, as opposed to always going all the way to the sideline and making the crazy throw, trying to make magic happen. He did that a couple of times yesterday, but really just a couple, I thought. And I'm on the lookout for that because I feel like it's...
I think you should be on the lookout for it this Sunday.
Yeah, right?
Right? Because that's a team that puts him on the run. That's a coordinator that knows how to put him on the run. So what are the things that he's learned from that experience? And is this the week where Caleb was like, you know what? The play's dead. I'm throwing it away. We'll get you on the next down.
Sure. Or this is the week where, like, hey, you know what? I broke through up the middle. Instead of going to the sidelines and extending, I'm just going to run up the middle. I'm going to go ahead and get this 6 or 8 yards right here. I'm going to go ahead and get this 11. I'll slide down and just keep the sticks moving. I'll just do a lot of that. One of these weeks, he's going to have 70, 80 yards rushing. You know what I mean? He's just going to, like, do it again and again and again, because sometimes that's what you got to do.
I didn't feel like that was a great bank of phone calls. And I'm not blaming you, Alex. I don't think that was a great bank.
Man, it's tough times for Alex.
I think that we can do better. We had the guy from New York, the guy who's obviously doing a bit. I'm Harry from Gary. I've been listening to the show for forever.
So long it's scary.
Yeah, exactly. So
I go back to Dan and Perry.
Exactly.
This is really unfortunate because Speaks and I were talking about it. Alex really seemed to be locked in all week.
All week.
He had a great week of practice.
Great week of prep. First time I saw him this morning, I was like, man, look at him. He's locked in.
He was the first one here and the last one to leave on Friday.
Yeah, that car was still there.
I was still in the parking lot.
So my hope for
then
the next...
I went scrambling and...
Yeah.
Cool plays.
Force it into tight windows.
Like sometimes the defense changes than what it is that we plan. So I'm hoping for a better bank of phone calls.
Wish my receivers could catch.
Yeah. I wish they could, too.
That's us.
Whoa.
They could, too.
Alex has been calling himself 9 behind the scenes. I don't know what that's about, but he said he's got an alter ego. I don't know what's going on with this guy.
Said something about 6'7".
All right, JJ.
I call him 9. 9 comes out and...
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see if he comes out this week.
Sit your ass down.
We'll see about that.
Take your loss home.
Better phone calls are next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in. the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Swift on the ground has a big hole. First down across the 40 as DeAndre Swift hits it hard for a gain of 11.
Just really well done here on the outside. Darnell Wright really coming into his own as one of the top right tackles in the league. Does a nice job there on Abdul Carter. Loveland at the top next to him, just really sound execution. And then that's where Swift really does his best damage. He's more of their perimeter kind of outside zone, pin and pull. He's a much better runner outside of the tackle.
Is that the fourth down play where Darnell bust? Maybe it isn't, but a couple times he broke it outside, did the old school DeAndre Swift thing. And it worked. The
yep.
fourth down play I'm thinking about where he bounced off two dudes and busted it outside. But he ran hard. Manungai ran hard early and had a touchdown. And the Bears. Caleb ran hard all day long, especially in that fourth quarter.
And the Bears are 6-3.
Let's go. Sit in it and bask, people. Enjoy yourself.
James Big Cat Williams is going to join us at 4 o'clock, by the way. We can ask him about some of the stuff that we saw from the offensive line play of the Bears yesterday. A lot of cool stuff. 312-644-6767. Out to Oak Forest and Ryan. Hey, Ryan, you're on Spiegel and Holmes.
Hey, guys. So people know my whole darn life is football. It's not driving a great car, telling people I'm the prettiest. So one thing I hear a lot of casuals say is that our offensive line isn't any good. But for as consistent as run blocking has been all year, our pass pro kept the Giants' talented front on lock. I mean, Theo Benedict was surprising it again. And I'm far from Warriortown, but I do reside near Raised Eyebrow Park because he wasn't the best Theo on the field. Theo Johnson, the tight end for the Giants, had a career game, and I'm not quite sure whose fault that is.
This guy's doing like nine bits in once.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of bits.
He's doing a lot of bits.
Rack him.
He's got some OB going on there.
Listen, clones.
Uh-huh. He's got a lot going on.
Let him cook. He dropped a casuals on us.
And I'm forever grateful for that. And he said Raised Eyebrow Park, which is near Worrytown.
One thing I hear a lot of casuals say is...
is anything that we ask during the Kurt Warner segment.
Steve is on the north side. Hey, Steve, you're on the score.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Great show. Real quickly, introduce myself. I'm the one they called last week about the emotional roller coaster. I don't know if you remember. You get a lot of calls. Emotional roller coaster.
All right. You know what? That's it.
Try another one.
That's it.
Come on, man. Try another one.
I think we're done.
No. Yeah, give it up. It's a Bears Monday. We keep rolling. We're 6-3.
Maybe Michael in Oaklawn is a real person. Hey, Michael, you're on the score.
Michael.
Hi, guys. Diehard Bear fan. Always will. I'm not playing.
for the Giants or anything. I'm on the fence with the Bears.
Okay.
Records usually speak for themselves. We at 6-3, but I'm on the fence. And I'm going to give you three. We barely beat the Raiders.
Yeah.
If we didn't get lucky. Right?
Yep.
We barely beat the Commanders. And if their coach yesterday don't mess up, I think we're in a whole different ballgame right there, guys. Whole different ballgame.
Yeah, the best record of any team they have beaten is the Cowboys' record of 3-5-1. They're thank you for the call, Michael. I think it was a real person. The Commanders are 3-7. The Bengals are 3-6, and they've beaten three different teams that have just two wins. They haven't beaten anybody yet.
What does that even mean, though?
Nothing. Just shut up and bask. I know. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say, Lawrence. I'm pointing it out. Look, the schedule gets really hard later in the year. You could say that they'll be lucky to get to 10 wins. You could say that if you want to look at the schedule. Find me four wins left on the schedule. But let's not do that today. Just shut up and bask. You're 6-3.
It feels like a lot of people wanted their weekends ruined, and the Bears have ruined their unruined weekends. Like, that's what it feels like we're hearing. Well, they could have lost this game. You had a great time watching them win that game against the Raiders.
Did you cut Dustin's first question in the pick six today?
I did not.
Okay. Let me do it. Was that the worst Bears win you've ever seen? And there were other questions, because there's always a few in each question. But that was the saying, like, was that the worst Bears win you've ever seen? I mean, it was an ugly game, but it's a win!
It's a win.
Enjoy it, Dustin!
I remember some of those naggy wins, by the way.
Some of those naggy
where
wins?
Where he's like, oh man, this is ugly. They couldn't do half of what this team is doing offensively.
You finally got the game where the quarterback elevated the team. Like, you've been begging for it. Begging for Caleb to elevate the team. And then he did it, and they won.
He did elevate them. I'm able to sit in the bask because we have a super talented, raw, young quarterback who is learning from an offensive coaching superstar. And it's 6-3. Let's effing go.
Hey, Tom, you're on the Score.
Tom.
Hey. Hi, guys.
Hey, Tom. What's up?
Good show. 60 years, Bear fan, love the Bears. 6-3, awesome. I was just in a business trip up in Green Bay, Wisconsin area, and I wore my Bears cap. I'm proud to be doing that again. So hopefully, the second half of the season, we just continue.
Did you get the sale?
great meeting. Yeah.
All right, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Care
about you, Tom.
Congratulations.
Yes, absolutely. Congratulations.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
you wanted a better bank.
And they got worse, apparently?
I don't know.
I thought that was a little bit better.
I thought it was a little bit better, too. I like come to think of it, the guy who was doing a bit had 9 bits in 1. I think it was like Airplane. Like, there was just like 40 jokes every minute, you know? Spoke to me a little bit more in retrospect.
This is just, you know,
shows they study the material, you know.
Yes.
Usually on a Bears Monday after a win, like, the callers usually win, but it's the YouTube commenters and the folks on Twitch and the texters that are in the power rankings right now. The callers are real low.
Well, it's hard to tell, though, when the caller said he's been a fan for 60 years, if he's just imitating the other guy who said he was a fan for 60 years.
And, like, the next guy calls, he's like, I've been a Bears fan since 1920.
For 125 years, I've been a Bears fan.
I was a Decatur Staley's fan.
I used to root for the Cardinals, even though they moved. They get those people. No. They're usually Sox fans also.
Oh, yeah.
But like, it's funny, people. Like, it is a transitional season for the quarterback, for the team, and for the callers, too,
yes.
I think.
Yes, we're transitioning. We're trying to figure out how to live with this new modern reality.
I'm going to need them to transition a little bit quicker.
They can. Don't you worry.
Because last week, our calls were good. I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we'll do better. Actually, you do better. How about that? Next week, the Bears, not you. Well, yeah, also you. Yeah.
Okay.
But next week, if the Bears are able to win, hopefully the calls will be better.
CJ is going to write you another note.
And he's probably with me on this one.
Big sports radio guy.
We're probably aligned on this one. The note he's going to write is, man, those calls are really bad. I take back what I said. You're doing the Lord's work, Lawrence. That's what I hope he says. James Big Cat Williams is going to run us through What the Bears offensive line did well yesterday, I can't wait for this conversation. It's next on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.